want to say thank you to the conference group for, one, inviting us all, because I think it's a broad spectrum to give you in a unique setting for the fact that, one, this is a unique opportunity in the city of Boston that hopefully we won't have to experience again, but also to get the span of an athletic trainer, to get Boston EMS on ground, physician, public health. I think it will pull the whole idea together, and hopefully you can appreciate that. So as you're looking at this opening slide, I want to give you a perspective of what I was at. This is a picture from the opening finish line on the clock tower bridge. So basically the view that the blast is coming out to is the second blast. So as we're in the fog of what the screen is, that's actually where the first blast occurred. So where I was actually about the length of this room itself, about 100 feet back off from the first blast site in the finish line chute. And the reason why I want to bring this perspective to you is because, one, the unexpectedness that everyone is in, the fact that we still had a runner population moving, and then the concentration of spectators. I mean, we've all seen the video, we've all seen the photos, but I think it's helpful to kind of repeat back to it. So we're moving on to the next slide. In the response, these are the primary elements that I want to focus on. And as that wheel spins on the right of the emergency management, I want you to consider the number of 22 minutes. 22 minutes may have been the point of what it took for you to get here from your parking spot to here. And I don't want to speak for the chief, but 22 minutes is going to have a pretty good point to remember. At the finish line, the response for itself was concentrated with who is on target already. So there's a team of 30 athletic trainers, about 20 student athletic trainers that are doing ushering in wheelchairs, and then also a team of 8 physicians and a team of Boston EMS emergency response team. So that's it. We're looking for runner care. We're looking for collapsed runners at the finish line, and we're not looking for explosive devices. So bottom line, once that took place, we were finding ourselves immersed into that explosion scene. Regardless of what people's capability was, bystander, not trained, we were needing to engage. So as that took on, that preparation cycle and response were basically blurred. When we get into the medical needs, I want to recognize that on the finish line area, the bulk of care is a gurney, a pocket full of nitrile gloves, and gauze. That's about it. Everything else is in the medical tent that I primarily deal with. And the reason why I want to look at that, and I'm glad that I have an opportunity to speak of, is basically with being a foundation of what this marathon is in the sense of medical support, you can't do anything if you don't have the resources. So medical needs, we're having to be pulled out of the medical tent. Patient care, we're looking at a concentration of about 85 to 100 runners currently at that time. 4 hours marks the peak time when the runner population basically is at its max. And we begin to kind of come off the backside of what our patient load is going to be within the medical areas. So volunteer action was unknown at first, and then it was instantaneous. Runner population was both in action, going down the course, they had just finished the line, and the concept of what was happening was basically they had 26.2 miles of experience and fatigue, disorientation, having that concept of getting food, water, in their medal. They had no idea that 200 yards behind them was this explosion and what it was. So they just had the pack of people and spectators, runners, feet up behind them. So we had a stampede that was occurring. Communications became very limited at the time. I ended up having a ham communications, which is an amateur radio group that we correspond both from the start, on course, and in the finish area to help coordinate logistics and operations. And that's within the volunteer group. And it's not necessarily a feed that's going between Boston Police, EMS, elements like that. We're trying to stay in-house, mom-and-pop style. So lastly, we're looking at the event recovery. The event recovery was actually cycling as same as the mitigation point was. And the reason why I say that is because in that period of 22 minutes, there is response, there is action, then what do we have to do next? And if just at, how are we doing on time? Okay. All right.
We're going to make your last comment. Make your last comment.
The last point that I want to look at is just in terms of the team and aspect, athletic trainers, physicians, nurses, EMTs, physical therapists, students, they're all being brought together. If we just go to the next slide. The point of being brought together, I want you to have a concept of who's in the image here. And then on the left, the iconic picture that we all see, Boston University student athletic trainer is the female that's pushing the wheelchair. We have a bystander, and then we have Boston UMass. How do they end up knowing what to do and where to go? Well, that's the strength of having a foundation and a plan in place.